Week one, it's not about me. It's not about me. God's purpose for Kip's life is not about Kip Younger being happy, prosperous, fat and sassy, and all those other cliches that seem to make us think that this person is doing wonderful. It's not about that. God's purpose in Kip Younger's life is to honor and serve the Father through the gifts and the skills that the Holy Spirit has given to Kip Younger, that he can honor God in the name of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by Kip Younger's power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within him. So it's not about Kip Younger. Week two, we say, well, you're playing for God's pleasure. And we talk about worship. Then we talked about acts of worship and that they are any and everything that is pleasing and honoring to the Father in heaven. So being here this morning is the presence of worship and your participation in worship, but it's not, that's not the end of it. That worship for all of us continues today and all through the week, that we do things that bring honor and glory to the Father, and those are acts of worship. We jumped from the last chapter, we moved it up to week three. We talked about missions very quickly last Sunday. Remember, the Woosters were here, and they talked about Siberia. Nobody wanted to go with them. And today, you're foreign for God's family. You are foreign. You, in your conception, were formed for the family of God. That's good news. That's real good news. Now, here we go. We're going to look at Scripture, then we'll move on. 12 and 13. While he, Jesus, was sitting with the crowd speaking, his mother and his brothers were standing outside. And they were waiting for him. They wanted to speak to him. And so apparently they got the attention of somebody, we're going to assume it was a man, and said to him, hey, listen, that's my boy, Jesus, in there, and I need to see him. And so whoever it is apparently came in. And Jesus is there talking to the disciples. And this guy probably came up. Psst, psst, hey! Psst. Look! Look! We'll say it one more time. Look! Your mama and your brothers are outside. They want to see you. Look! Now, all of this sets the context then and the scene for what's about to happen. The reason that I like this reading better, because it had the word look in it, is because it comes across then as a very intentional statement and action of the man who came in to Jesus to tell him about his mom and his brothers. He says to him, stop what you're doing. Stop teaching. Look. Look out the window. And do you see your mom? Yeah. And your brothers? Yeah. They want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. Very intentional. Stop. Connect. Focus. Be precise. Give all your attention to your mom and your brothers. This, what you're doing here is not as important as they are, so stop what you're doing and focus on them. That's your mama. She had you. You were not an easy delivery. Let me remind you about that. And those are your brothers. You know, they're not always happy with you, but they've come to see you. They want to talk. So be glad about it. Look at them. That's important. It's a biological connection. It's important. That's your only mother. Those are your only brothers. Focus on them. That was the messenger who came in to say that to Jesus. He's saying to him, there's something really important going on outside. You need to be focused on that. This is not as important as that. Jesus replied, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Now stop right there. You're the guy who came in. You're the guy who came in. And you've been talking to Mary and the brothers, and you come on in, you're just trying not to be intrusive. Psst. Your mom and your brothers are outside. They want to see you. And he turns to you and he says, who's my mom? Who's my brothers? Now, what would you think? Would you think he's cracked up? Would you think he's lost? What do you mean? Who are? Right there, can't you see him? He says, who are they? He's not asking, who are they? And he's not asking, who are they? He's really saying, you know, my mom and my brothers and my sisters, who are they? In connection to my Father. Ooh. You see, Jesus, he's not focused on his biological family standing outside looking in the windows wishing they could get in here and be with us. He's thinking about terms in family in connection to his Father. His Father. You see, Jesus was sent for a purpose. And we're talking about purpose-driven life. Our purposes. Jesus came for a purpose. The purpose he came to was fulfill the will of the Father. So everything that Jesus connects with focuses on the Father. And so when he says, who are my brothers and who is my mother? He's saying, who's my family in connection with my Father? Because for him, it's about the Father. Read the Gospel of John. There's a whole lot of stuff in the Gospel of John where he and the Father are what? Uno. We're one. We're just like that. It's all about my dad. It's all about my dad. So who's my mom? Who's my brother in relationship to my Father? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here. Here. The guy who came in said, look, Jesus is saying to him, you look here, here. You see all these folks? See all the folks up in the choir? See them all? These are my brothers. These are my sisters. These are my moms. All these folks. You look here. Because my family is not a biological connection to Mary and my brothers. My family is a spiritual connection to my Father. And these folks are connected to my Father as my disciples. They have a relationship with my Father through me, empowered by the Spirit of my Father. These are my brothers. These are my sisters. You look, they're right here. They're right here. And then just to make sure he understood that, he says to him, for whoever. Well, who's whoever? Anyone. Well, who's anyone? Well, Paul says, well, anyone can be from Galatians 3:28. There's a lot of scriptures that say this same idea. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, black or white, blue or green, tall or short, fat or skinny, rich or poor. There's nothing like that that separates them. Everybody is whoever. Everybody can be a part of the family. We don't lock those doors to anybody. Even the side doors, we keep those open too. Anybody and everybody, all the whoevers can come on in because we're all part of the family. Whoever does the will of my Father. So, well, what's the will of my Father? Love God, love neighbor. With all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And love your neighbor. So whoever does that is my disciple. I say, well, who's that neighbor thing? Well, those folks. So whoever loves my Father and loves neighbors, they can be part of the family. Well, I don't like all my neighbors. Too bad. I'm sorry you don't like all your neighbors. But there's no distinctions being made. Everyone can be a part of the family. Everyone can be a part of the family. Whoever does the will of my Father, love God, love neighbor, man, you're in. Whoever loves the Father and does the will of my Father is my brother and sister. That's my family. That's my family. They look different. They talk different. They act different. Some are good. Some are better. Some, you know, whatever. But they're all family. They're all family. It's got nothing to do with biological connections. It's got nothing to do with that. It's all spiritual stuff. And it all comes out of the formation of love God, love neighbor. So with Christ as my Savior, and I love my Father, and I serve my Father by loving my neighbor in the name of Christ, powered by the Holy Spirit, I'm part of the family with you. With you. You don't look too happy. But you know what? Oh, well. You see, y'all are part of their family. And you guys are part of their family. And the choir, they're part of everybody's family. That's just the way it is. That's good stuff. So you see, family then is a faith community, because it's all based on the love of God. Love God, love neighbor, neighbor loves neighbor. All family is a faith community. We say, well, okay, we got that, but what's that? How do we connect? How do we know that? What's that look like? What's that taste like? What's that? When we leave here today and we start thinking about all this stuff, what image do we leave here with that we remember what this really means to us as individuals? Well, here's an image. That should look familiar. You're in it. That's us. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all brothers and sisters. You know what that means? Ain't nobody better than anyone else. Just not. We're all seeing the same in the eyes of God. There is no separators, no distinguishers, nothing. All sinners in need of redemption and all that good stuff, all those phrases. That's who we are. That's who we are. And that's good. That's really good. So we're going to take a look at some of the benefits, and then we're going to take a look at some of the basic principles of staying healthy. So here's the benefits. Here we go. The benefits of being a part of the church family. Now, these are warns, okay? Identifies genuine disciples. We say, oh, wait a minute. What's he mean by genuine? What's that mean? If I were to say to you, anyway, what kind of wood is this? Oh, that works. Are you sure about it? If I were to say to you, this pulpit is genuine oak, and you say, wow, really? I say, yeah. And I say, listen, do you think this little part here is oak? Yep. Do you think this front's oak? Yeah. Do you think that these shelves in here that's full of clutter and dust and nasty stuff, do you think this shelf in here is oak? Yeah. Well, do you think that this little baseboard around here is all kind of nicked up and everything from being moved around too much? Do you think that's oak? Yeah. Do you think that the wood behind this green piece of stuff here, do you think that's oak? You say, yeah. Why? Because you said it's genuine oak. Genuine oak means it's oak through and through. Baby, this whole thing is oak because it's genuine oak. It's all the way 100%. And he's saying that it identifies, being connected in a church family, identifies a genuine, best of your ability and my ability, 100% disciple of Jesus Christ. Phew. Because it's what disciples do. They connect. Read Hebrews. Do not neglect to meet together. On and on and on, it says. It's what we do. We come together. Regardless of circumstances and situations, all the other stuff that we're going to look at when we talk about basic health things at the next one. It's what we do. That's what he was doing that day. Another thing is that it moves us from being a self-centered isolation. We learn and we practice, we living. Learn and practice living is not about us in real, real life terms. It's easy to say it's not about me and yada, 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 but you know, it's real hard then to put that phrase into life practices. But when we come together as the body of Christ, then one of the things we're saying is that it is the evidence and it is the nurturing of my discipleship, and it moves me, it forces me not to be self-centered and isolated in the community of faith. Because if I try to be isolated and self-centered in the community of faith, you know what I'm saying? It's all about me. It's all about me. But it's not about me. It's about all of us together. Develop spiritual muscle. Because when we come together as the body of Christ, Love God, love neighbor. Yes, remember that? That these are some of the things we do. We love, we pray, we encourage, we admonish, we greet, we serve, we teach, accept, honor, submit, and devote ourselves to each other. And every time we do one of those, it builds strength. So if you were to wake up tomorrow morning and not get out of bed for the next 6 months, next time you get out of bed, how strong are your leg muscles going to be? Pitiful. You're going to leap to the floor and just crush like a rock. Because you haven't practiced getting out of bed and exercising your legs. Same idea with this. Every time that we're together as the body of Christ and we have to exert maybe a little more energy to love, pray, encourage, admonish, greet, serve, teach, accept, honor, submit, and devote it to each other, it builds strength. It teaches us. It's an exercise to continue doing it more and more and more and more. And the more we do it, the easier it gets, because the more we do it, the more we begin to realize that the basic premise of the whole deal is not about Kip Younger. It just kind of fades away, and Kip Younger can begin to see it's about nurturing and loving the body of Christ in the name of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it develops good muscle tone for us. The body of Christ needs you. Now, a person in here doesn't have a gift, a talent, a skill. You've heard several of them already this morning, many of them. Sound great. The body of Christ develops on that. And a lot of those gifts and skills and talents are what we use to go out into the kingdom of God. Shares Christ's mission. Makes us his hands, his feet, his eyes, his heart to the whole kingdom of God. When people see you out there, they see you as the hands, the feet, the eyes of Christ. Keeps you from backsliding. Thought this was interesting. Force of love. Now, that's not forced love. That's a movement, a power of love that has a sense of force within it that keeps us on track. Because we continue to love one another in spite of everything. We continue to love one another. And so, you sit over here and Bubba hasn't been here for 2 weeks. And you notice that. And he's not here for the third week. So when you get home, because we love one another, you pick up the phone, you call Bob and say, "Hey, man, where you been? Missed you. You okay?" "Yeah, I'm fine. Just been fishing. Catch anything? Should I be going with you?" See? That's how that works. Well, maybe it works better now. It's a powerful reminder of the faith community life. It's critical, absolutely critical, the benefits in the family life and the church to sustaining individual and church vital lives. Because they're all focused out of love. And probably one of the most important ones that it pronounces a responsibility that this is who we are with one another. This is who we are. So there are some basic health principles. You ready? Focus on what we have in common. Don't focus on what we have differences over. Now that doesn't mean we don't talk about differences. That don't mean that we don't have difference of opinions. What it means is that we focus. When he said, look, put your focus out there at your mom and your brothers, we look at what we have in common. We got one Lord, one body, one purpose, one Father, one Spirit, one faith, one baptism, one love, one salvation, one life, one future, together. Together. And so we focus on what we have in common. Because things that are different, if we're not careful with them, they become a wedge. And they begin to move into the church. Someone can bring it with them, and it begins to push it into the church. And pretty soon that wedge begins to divide. And you got this little group over here, and you got this little group over here. And this little group thinks they're right, and this little group knows they're right. And so the differences divide. We focus on what we have in common. Because when you have two different groups, pretty soon, you know what this little group's thinking? It's all about them. You know what this little group thinks? All about me. And they're both wrong. It's not about either one of them. So we focus on what we have in common. We hold realistic expectations. So here's what that means. If you're looking for the perfect church, perfect choir, and they're real close, perfect minister, not so close, you're not going to find them. If you're looking for the perfect church, you're not going to find it. Why? Because every church has the same problem. They're filled with what? Starts with a P. Ends in eeple. People! They're filled with people! So folks come and they're excited about the church and you love them and yada, 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 and all of a sudden something happens. I can't believe. I can't believe that. Oh, I thought it was perfect. You ain't seen nothing. Get over it. Because we're people. We're just people. And we're trying to stay together and have a common bond through Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit within each of us. So, be real. Choose to encourage, not criticize. I like that one. Now, not here. But other churches have folks that like to criticize. It's a spiritual gift of some folks to be critical. And not critical like, oh, hey, listen, you know, when I saw you preaching this morning, I noticed that your socks, mine are not, however, your socks were different colors. And so you might want to, you know, make sure you wear the same color socks. Now, that's not being critical. That's just being helpful. So that's not a problem. But there is, not here, but there is sometimes that mean, vindictive, arrogant posturing of trying to tear somebody down instead of lifting them up. Imagine that. How can that be? How can that be? Because we're all one. We all love the same God, same Jesus, same Holy Spirit. We all worship the same in quotations, if you will. So how can that be that all of a sudden there'd be this overwhelming negative power of criticism? It just destroys the church. Because when I begin to criticize in a mean, vindictive sort of way, you know what I'm really saying? You know what I'm saying? It's all about me, baby. I know best. It's all about me. So we don't. We encourage. We lift people up. You say, you know what? Your socks are different colors, but they look good like that. I'll bet you got a pair at home just like it. See? So we lift and we encourage one another. We encourage one another. We refuse to listen and embrace and accept gossip. We don't listen to gossip. So someone calls you when you get home today and they say, did you see what Sally was wearing in church? And I'm just really hot. And they say, did you see what Sally was wearing in church? And you know this person is prone to be less than positive, yes? Because they've called you before. And you say, no, what was she wearing? No, you don't say that. You don't say that. Did you see what Sally was wearing in church today? You say, oh, no, but you know, I really don't think that's my concern. So, how is the weather? How are you? How's your husband? Is he fishing this morning? I didn't see him in church. Ooh, I had to say that. I'm sorry. I just had to say that. I'm sorry. I slipped out. I just had to say it. I just slipped out. Okay. And we don't accept gossip. Because here's the deal. Sally's over there, and she's wearing whatever she's wearing, and that's fine. And I see that. What time is it? Ugh. I see. We need longer services. And I see that, and I come over here, and I call you. And then I start berating her to you. You know why I want to do that? Because it makes me feel good. It makes me feel powerful. It makes me feel strong. It makes me feel like I am above her for certain. And I'm also above you because I'm telling you how bad she was. And it just makes me feel like king of the day. And you know what that really means? It's all about me. And it's not. And so a basic health principle is that we just don't do that. We just don't do that to each other. We don't do that to each other. We use God's conflict resolution quickly, Matthew 18. You have an issue with your brother, sister, whatever. 18 says, go talk to them. Work it out. They refuse. Get a witness. Now, a witness is not your best friend who will lie for you about anything. A witness is what the word says. They experience the same thing from whoever. You go talk to them together. And they're still inflexible, they're still hard-headed, all that kind of stuff. Then you take it back to the church, and the church does whatever and all that. The key point to Matthew 18, you got a problem with somebody? Hi. Can I talk to you? Sure. You know, the other day when you said whatever? Yeah. I got to tell you, that kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. Seriously? Yeah. Well, tell me about it. How? I didn't know that. And they go on to talk to you about it. He's like, man, are you serious? I am so stinking sorry. I just, obviously, thought never occurred to me. I'm sorry. What can I do? Now, isn't that better than going on the phone and calling this guy to say, you wouldn't believe what he said about me? See? There you go. Support your pastors. I like that one. I like that. And leaders. And leaders. And I thought I'd better put the leader part in too, because that'd make, you know, make it sound better. Because they're charged with the responsibility of what? Making this a unified body of Christ by the power of the Spirit that's in them, not to be in leadership positions and to begin to think of all the stupid things that it's all about them. And so to be supportive, because they have the authority and are charged with the responsibility. So now the question would be, am I a member in good... Oh, doggone it. Am I a member... am I a member in good standing in the family of God? That would be the ultimate question. Am I a good member in good standing with the family of God? Well, I don't sing in the choir. And Sharon won't let me mess with anything back there. It's all I get to do. So am I still a member of good standing in the family of God? Yes. So are you. Yes. So are you. Because Christ is your Savior. And you're filled with the Spirit. And we do these basic health principles all the time with each other. Where else, what other institution, what other community, that's probably the best word yet, what other community can you be a part of that you know you will not be criticized in an abusive manner, you'll not be looked down upon, you'll not be judged, you'll not be sized up, you will not be gossiped about? What other family can you say that about? Some of you probably can't say it about your own biological families. Probably can't say it about them, because every time you get together, Thanksgiving and Christmas, there's this big fight because so-and-so, yada, 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 and you know how that goes. But not in here. Not in here. Not in here. Because this is God's family. We love God. And we love each other. And we treat each other as God loves to treat us. Because that's what this family's all about. Where else can you go and be loved so deeply? Where can you be a part of that you are so deeply embraced by the love of God that you come into community with? Nowhere. Nowhere. Here. Right here. Pray with me. Thank you for your church. Thank you for letting me in. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for letting all of us in. For loving all of us. Thank you for the gift of consciousness that by the power of the Spirit goes off like a roaring alarm in our spirits and in our minds when we're about to say or do something that is totally wrong in this family. And we're quickly reminded and we're quieted by your Spirit. And we turn any negativity into a positive because we love one another and we love you even more. Thank you, Father, for this family. We ask it in the name of our Savior. Amen.